take your Bibles now. We're going to be using two different passages of Scripture. The first one that you'll turn to is Revelation chapter 21. Once you find that, place a marker there, and we'll go to another and read it first. Revelation chapter number 21. Once you find Revelation 21, you're going to go to the book of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter number 14. We'll begin reading there. John chapter 14, this evening is where we'll begin reading. I'll read verse number 1, you'll join me on verse number 2, then we'll read verse 3 together. John chapter 14, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says this, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Now flip over to the book of Revelation, chapter number 21. We'll read the first 5 verses the same way. I'll begin on verse number 1. Revelation 21, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Let's finish on verse number 5 together. "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we truly are grateful. Lord, and we don't want to take for granted, Lord, the wonderful things that you do in our life. Lord, thank you for meeting with us this morning. Lord, the presence of your Holy Spirit has been wonderful today. Lord, here we are again, though, another service. Lord, so many of us, Lord, it's become a tradition, Lord, to be here, but help it not to become old hat. Lord, we want your presence here tonight, fresh and anew. Lord, bring the reality of the Scriptures to our mind. Lord, speak to our hearts, encourage, strengthen, and convict us, Lord, on how we could do more for you, become more like you because of what truths are preached this evening. Fill our pastor with your Holy Spirit's power as we listen. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I want to help you tonight. Tonight's sermon is going to be one that, my preacher used to say it this way. This is going to be one we kind of just take the top down on the convertible and drive around town a little while and enjoy. I want you to enjoy the sermon tonight. It's not one that I'm going to slap you upside the head with like I did today, but I think it's one that will be very helpful. I realize that life after this old body dies is troubling to many. The thought of death troubles a lot of people. We're all sinners in this life. And may I say it this way? We're all going to die. And I deal with death a lot. I got word this morning of someone who passed away. Mrs. Schubert was telling me somebody that she knew. And on and on and on and on. In the last 10 years, I'm not sure there's been 2 7-day periods that have gone by without me finding out about somebody passing away that I know personally. It's something I deal with on a regular basis. But let me say right here, you don't need to be afraid of death. You really don't need to be afraid of death. I'm not afraid of dying. I just don't want to hurt when I do it. It's not dying that scares me. It's how bad's it going to hurt on the way, you know? The only thing about death is this. to the saved person, the only thing that dies is that body. As I said at my mama's funeral, when you die, you're actually just starting to live. That's when eternal life begins. So heaven is a real place. Once you notice in John 14, God says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." And he, watch this, he said, "I go to prepare a what? Place for you." Guess what? Heaven's a real place.
Right.
Say, how do you know that, preacher? Jesus said it.
Yep.
Matter of fact, Jesus was there, came here, told us about it, and went back there. It's a real place. It's just as real as earth is. You're not going to be sitting on a cloud with a harp sprinkling spoofle dust everywhere. When you die or children die, they don't become angels. I know that's going to upset some of you with all your little figurines. All right? Angels are created beings. You don't change being forms. Just like reincarnation, you're not going to come back as a horse or a donkey, as some of our politicians may. but you don't change life forms when you die. You just get a different body. You'll still be a person. Now, heaven is a place that you must have a reservation for, though. You don't get in without a reservation. I'm not sure there'll be a sign there, but no walk-ins are welcome. It's not one of those places that you could just go to just because you want to go there. Jesus here in John 14 tells us that he's not only been there, it was his home. Notice he said, "In my Father's house." That's Jesus's home. Heaven is his home. And he's preparing us a place there at his home. Now, may I say something? You're only going to get there one of two ways: dying or the rapture. Now, I'm praying for the rapture. I don't want nobody else doing my hair or putting clothes on me. Mm-mm. Just doesn't sound right, you know? But it is what it is. There's only one of two ways to get there. You're either going to die or we're going up in the rapture for everyone that is saved. Now, you're not going to get there any other way. Jesus told us, though, he said, don't let that trouble you. Notice what he says here in John 14. Let not your heart, your emotions, be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And he starts telling us about heaven. Can I tell you something? Quit worrying about dying. The wise comedian once said, don't worry about dying. Or don't worry about living. We're all not going to make it out alive anyway.
Right.
And it's so very true. You're not going to make it out alive. You're either going to die or you're going up in the rapture, which you could dispute whether that's death or not. I don't know. I know this. It's going to happen so fast, who cares? It really doesn't matter. Matter of fact, God said not only don't be troubled, he said we should find comfort in it. He said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Heaven ought to be something that we ought to be comfortable with. And it ought to comfort us. When someone dies and goes to heaven, we ought not be grieving. We ought to be comforted. They're there.
Right.
11 months ago today, my mama went there. 11 months ago this next week, I stood here with her body right here, and Brother Josh and I did my own mama's funeral, did three funerals in 5 days that week. Now, wait a minute. Did I hurt? Was I sorrowful? Of course I was. That was my mom. But I couldn't be happier for her. I was sorry for me. I was sorry for Dad. I was sorry for my family. But I wasn't sorry for her. Man, she was standing up. She was running. She was doing things she ain't done in a long time. And I'm sure she's been cooking an awful lot while she's there. And there's some things she better have ready when I get there too. And wait a minute, we ought not be fearful of those things. We need to realize that heaven isn't so bad. Why is it that people get so upset when somebody saved goes to heaven? Why do we just get so upset? Well, I just don't think that's fair, preacher. Well, who died and made you God? Isn't it a place we all want to go? Isn't it what we aspire to? Isn't it the reason we got saved? Then why should we be upset somebody got what they wanted? May I put it in terms that we rednecks understand? Life here is death. Life there is life. That's eternal life. Here is death. There is life. What are we so upset about? Heaven is going to be the life God wanted us to live on earth without sin. It is actually what God intended for us before we messed it up. So what will it be like in heaven? What are some of the things that we'll see and do, and how will it be? Let me give you just a few things tonight. Number one, what happens when we go to heaven? The first thing that happens that you're going to notice is this. You lose your sin nature. Oh, thank God. That means eternal life begins and you lose your sin nature. You're not going to have that battle over your tongue. They're going to cut the rest of the way out. I mean, Mrs. Olson had tongue surgery recently, but they didn't remove enough of it. I told her I was going to get her back for that one, brother. Can I tell you something? When you get to heaven, you're not going to want to sin. You're not going to have the ability to sin, and you're not going to remember any of your sin. Whew, that's enough to make anybody want to shout. Amen? You can't have eternal life where there's eternal death. Sin brings death. So heaven will be heaven. One reason is that because we lose our sin nature. This means you're not going to have any memory of any of your sins. Brother Mike, you're not going to remember all the drinking and the drugs and all the other stuff you did that we ain't talking about, that I don't know about and don't want to know about. Brother Olson, you're not going to remember when you was a hippie. You don't believe it, but he was a long-haired hippie. He was a hitchhiking hippie. Yeah, before he got saved. You picture him in cowboy boots and long hair and a sissy shirt, silk shirt. I mean, now wait a minute. We're not going to remember those things in heaven. You say, why? Because that sin has passed away. And our sin nature will be passed away. As I preached a couple weeks ago, well, glory, you got the victory on that one. Wait a minute. Not only will you never be remembering the wrong, but you'll never be tempted to do wrong ever again. Praise God. You'll never have any desire to do wrong. You'll never have that battle over should I or shouldn't I. There'll never be a battle of what I should not do. You'll just keep doing that which you should do. You'll never wonder if you're supposed to get up the first time the alarm rings. You will. You don't have to set 5 and 6 and 7 of them and still get late. You see, you'll have a body and a mind and a spirit that are sinless. Can you imagine having a body that is sinless? That means no pain. Glory to God. Man, I jumped out of bed this morning and this half of my head was so clogged I couldn't breathe. And then I hit the floor and that hip went, oop, and it went snap, and I went, I was like, okay, it's 4:15 in the morning, God. That's not supposed to happen. Yeah, all those things that begin, you know, I'm getting to the point in life, if it doesn't hurt, it doesn't work. let's face it, you know. But you'll have a sinless body. You'll have a sinless mind. You'll have a sinless spirit. Now, let me say this right up front. That does not mean when you get to heaven, you become all-knowing. You're not going to know everything when you get to heaven. You're just going to lose your sin nature. I wouldn't fight you over this, but I'll tell you what I think the scripture teaches. I think we enter heaven at the same spiritual level we leave earth. And there is a lot to learn once you get there. By the way, we all have a lot to learn. A lot. You say, well, preacher, you know so much more than I do. Yeah, I've been preaching for 41 years. I've been in the ministry 32 plus years. I ought to know more than you. I entered this race a long time before you. I've been saved this coming January 50 years. Some of you haven't been saved 50 days. Hang on. It's okay. We entered the race at different times. Don't try to compare yourself. Just run the race that's set before you. Now watch this. You're never going to be able to recall, though, the sinful things and the sinful parts of your past. There's nothing going to be in heaven to scar your memory. You won't have those scars. Now, I have scars. If I ever lose all my hair, I'll look like Frankenstein. Trust me. I had stitches and cuts and all kinds of, you know. I'm going to have to spray paint my head or something because it would be really bad. Now, wait a minute. There's going to be no scars mentally in heaven. You're not going to remember those things that you wished you wouldn't have done, or those things you wished you wouldn't have said, or those things you should have done. There'll be no regrets there. There's going to be no guilt over things that you have done, or guilt over what you should have done that you didn't do. So one of the greatest things about heaven is this: you're going to lose your sin nature. You're not going to have that battle of the flesh and the spirit. It's just going to be spirit, and your flesh will follow. What a wonderful thing about heaven, isn't it? Number two, not only do we lose our sin and our sin nature, but number two, you're going to know people in heaven. Can I tell you something? You are going to know the people that are there. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Look at verse number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 12. I'm about to shout. I don't have much voice to do it with, but I'm going to do it anyway. For now, we see through a glass darkly. But then, when you get to heaven, face to face. Verse number 12. 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 12. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. Can I tell you something? When I get to heaven, I'm going to know my mama. When I get to heaven, I'm going to know people that I've seen here on earth. Brother Fred is going to be there. Now, thank God his mansion isn't going to be cluttered with all his junk anymore. Oh, God bless Brother Fred. The hardest man in my entire ministry to win to Christ was Fred Skaggs. What a stubborn old goat. I mean stubborn. Old mountain man. But he came to church. Wally had been saved, and she came to church, and she said, oh, don't talk to Fred. He's going to cuss you out. He's shot at preachers before. I said, oh, that's okay. I got a gun too. He can't hit me. I talked to Fred. And then he came to church. Just an old mountain man hermit. He couldn't figure us out. So he came again. Then he came Sunday morning and Sunday night. Then he came Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And I mean month after month after month. I pled with Fred to get saved. Matter of fact, after about 4 months, I sat there and he went through the sinner's prayer with me. And I went back a couple days later and he said, I got to tell you something. I'm feeling bad. I said, what's the matter, Fred? He said, I really didn't do it. I just told you I did. I said, well, that's good. He said, it is. I said, yeah, that means you feel bad about it and you need to get saved. Fred almost died on me twice. He was an hour from death. I looked him square in the eyeballs. I said, Fred, if you don't get saved, you're going to bust hell wide open. I'm not ready yet, preacher. How close to hell do you have to be, Fred? I'm not ready yet. and he didn't die. We were sitting at their house, and my wife and Miss Wally were sitting in the dining room table. Fred's sitting on oxygen in his chair. I said, "Fred, when are you going to let God have it?" And I began to plead with him, and he said, "Okay, preacher, I think I'm ready." And I watched that tough old mountain man bow his head and trust Christ as a Savior. He'd already been kicked out of hospice twice for not dying. I'm not kidding. You know that old rascal, when we were in the old rented warehouse down here, I had that old horse trough. Well, I put the mule in the horse trough and baptized him, amen? 80-year-old mule, stubborn, headed, oh my soul. I watched that man carry an oxygen bottle around with Brother Barnes going soul winning. After Fred died, just this fall, Mrs. Lopez at work, she said, "Preacher, pray for me. I got a co-worker I'm going to witness to." She went to work one morning and set up a time, and they were going to talk, and she began to witness to one of her co-workers, and one of her co-workers on the side is a waitress in a local restaurant. Mrs. Lopez goes all the way through the gospel with her and had a gospel track there, and of course, Mrs. Lopez is trained, right? She didn't let anybody else talk. Right, Brother Joe? and she got through it, and she said, "I already did that." She said, "Well, when'd you do that?" She said, "I think it's somebody from your church. You remember Fred and Wally Skaggs?" "Yeah. I used to waitress their table, and they would give me these all the time. And one day after work, I went home and did what it said."
Amen.
That old codger had somebody saved. He passed out more tracts at the hospital than any human being alive. The day he died, Brother and Mrs. Barnes' granddaughter got saved. She said, "I'm going to miss Brother Fred." And Mrs. Barnes said, "Well, you can go to where he's good. You can one day go to where he's at." "I can." She got to win her to Christ that day. Hour after that man died, she got saved. I mean, you talk about stubborn old goat. He was. Can I tell you something? I'm going to know him there. I'll know my mama. I'm going to see Brother Hiles there. I'm going to see a whole bunch of people I've sent ahead. Trust me. I'll see my grandparents, and I'll see people I've never even met. I'm going to meet people in the Bible. Say, "How do you know that, preacher?" The Bible says that we will be known as we are known. Your personality won't change, but you won't be the sinner that you are. That's the only thing that'll change. Genesis 1:26 and 1:27 says that we were made in God's image. We were created in His image. Now watch this. That means this: there's no difference in heaven than there is earth. We were created in the image of God. If we were created in His image, what will it be like in heaven? Like it is here. It's a real place, and we'll know each other. We know that in Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 8, don't turn there right now, but in Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 8, Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Moses and Elijah were there, and Moses and Elijah were introduced to Peter, James, and John, and they met him. They met them both. You say, "Well, they didn't know him." Well, they will when they once they died. They went to heaven and said, "Hey, I remember you. We met." Say, why? Because God said that we will be known as we are known here. We will know the people that have gone on before us. You say, "Well, at what age will I be known?" I can't answer that. I can just tell you, you're going to know each other in heaven. I don't know if it's being known as you were when you left earth. Hopefully not. I don't know if it's how it's going to work. I just know this: we're going to know each other there. You will recognize your friends. You'll recognize your loved ones. And you'll get to meet people that you have never known before, that you've read about in the scriptures. It is a place where we will know people. Number three, and I've got to hurry. I'm really looking forward to this one. We'll enjoy sinless senses in heaven. Do you know that our smell and our taste and our touch and our sight and our senses are tainted by sin. I'll get to see color like everybody else, the way God intended me to see color. I'm horribly colorblind. Y'all know that. Recently, my wife found online, oh, honey, they make glasses for people that are colorblind. Maybe these will help you. Why didn't you look it up? So I did. They said, well, take this colorblind test. So I did. Got to the end of it, and they said, you're too colorblind for our glasses. They won't work for you. Stink. I always have been an overachiever, amen? It was horrible. And, you know, it's pretty bad when the people that say they can help you can't help you, you know? Your taste is tainted by sin or COVID. Your smell is tainted by sin or COVID. You'll see things that you never saw before. You'll be able to see things in a spiritual way. Remember when Elisha was with his servant, and the young servant with him could not see the host of angels, and Elisha said, look, God, would you open the eyes of the young man that he might see? And all of a sudden, God rolled his eyes back to where he could see that which he did not see before. And we will be able to see with an enhanced sight. No more of this because you're too stubborn to go get glasses. Oh, I don't need glasses. That's why you put the font size up on your phone. You got to get the extra big phone with the bigger font so you could read it without doing this, you know. But I don't need glasses. Quit being so vain. You're a sinner like everybody else. Get over it. Boy, that one hurt, didn't it? Now, wait a minute. You'll enjoy taste like you've never enjoyed before because it'll be sinless. You'll see things in such a spiritual way. Our hearing won't be hindered. You won't have that ringing in your ears. Some of you, you won't be a ding-a-ling. I mean, you won't have the inability to hear. Many people have some hearing issues, especially the older you get. Huh? You'll enjoy eating in heaven. Now, I enjoy eating that well. I don't enjoy it like I used to because I can't taste it. But you'll enjoy it like you never have before. Can I tell you something? Jesus ate in heaven. And he came back in his glorified body and ate here on earth. John chapter 21, verse 13, 14. He ate fish with the disciples after he had gone to heaven and came back. Luke chapter 24, verses 42 and 43. Again, at a different time, he had eaten with the disciples. Did you know what we're going to do right after we go to heaven at the rapture? It's something called the marriage feast of the Lamb. Well, if we're going to have a feast, that means there's going to be food. Because Jesus was a Baptist. He was baptized by John the Baptist, and Baptists have food for a feast. Amen. Thank God we're going to eat. Amen. God knows we enjoy food, and God made it for us to enjoy, but you're going to taste it in ways you never tasted before, and bless God, you Jews are going to eat pork. We're going to have a bacon, amen? Gotcha. He told Peter, rise, kill, and eat. Now, oh God, I can't, it's unclean. He said, nope, it's under the blood, it's all clean. Yeah, buddy. Bring on the bacon and no heart attack, amen? Hoorah! We're going to be eating deer meat, amen? Preacher's going to be hunting in heaven. Now, wait a minute. There's trees there for fruit, the Bible says. And that we will eat of the fruit. Heaven's going to be a place where our senses are not tainted by sin. Number next, and I'll finish with this one. This may be the clicker to it here. We're going to have a pure mind in heaven. You're not ever going to have a wrong thought. You're never going to get angry again. That doesn't mean that your wife's not going to be there. No comment, Brother Mike. Sharp objects, look out. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? You'll never think about anything sinful ever again. You'll never think about anything that ever hurt you because it'll be gone. you're going to have a spiritual mind. Turn to Romans chapter 8 for a moment. We're going to look at a few verses. I'll let God say it instead of me. Romans chapter 8. Let's look at verse number 1. I'm going to read the first 6 verses, so I'll let you turn there, but I'm going to start reading. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Can I tell you something? When we get to heaven, we're not going to be carnally minded. We are going to be spiritually minded. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at verse number 42. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 42. Bible says this. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Skip down to verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump of God shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Can I tell you something? Look at verse 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Hey, that's when we get the victory. Well, glory. Mm-hmm. That means this old body is going to be put away in the things of the flesh and the works of the flesh, and we'll be doing the works of the Spirit because we'll be living a spiritual life. You can't develop the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit develops it in you as you yield to the Holy Spirit. You can't develop it. It's the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of the Christian. You're not going to have an all-knowing mind in heaven. You don't just suddenly become God and know everything. I have jokingly said there are things when I get to heaven, I'm going to punch Adam in the nose for sinning. But I'm not going to remember it according to Scripture because my sin nature will be gone. You're going to be learning in heaven. Turn to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. I haven't forgotten that we read Revelation 21. Hang on. Look at Revelation chapter 4. First three chapters of the book of Revelation talk about the seven churches. Then in Revelation chapter 4, verse number 1, you have the rapture. Look what it says. After this, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit. And behold, the throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. But notice what it said. It said, I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Guess what that means? When you get there, you're not going to know what's next. In other words, you're going to be learning. You don't get there and say, well, I know everything. It's not like you went to your first year of Bible college or college and you know everything. Or you graduated from high school and you know how to fix everything in the world. Mm-hmm. You are not going to be God just because you die and go to heaven. You are going to be in a learning process throughout heaven. Can you imagine what it's going to be like listening to God teach us the Bible? Step back and let God talk. Amen. I'm going to get on the front row with my pen and paper and learn everything I can. You see, you'll never be able to recall a bad thought, a bad moment, anything ever wrong that ever took place. You'll never be able to recall it. Now, to me, one of the sweetest things about heaven, turn to Revelation 21. Allow me to be a little bit gentle and tender for a moment, and then I'm about to shout. Brother Olson, you've been in the ministry a long time too. I get tired of what sin does to people. I'll be honest with you, I never get weary of helping people, but I get weary of what the devil does to people. I'm tired of hearing people hurt. I tire of people having pain. I think Ann Garner down here, they just told her this week that her cancer is worse. They've given her 6 months. There's nothing they can do. You ought to sit on the phone with her the day she gets the news. And she said, "It's okay, preacher. I know I'm going to heaven. But my heart breaks." Then she starts crying. She said, "But I know I'm going to heaven sooner because of how I lived." "It's okay, Ann. God loves you." That hurts me. I hurt as I've had to take the body of a dead baby out of a mama's arms more than once. I hurt as I sit down and talk to families because their children have disappointed them and gone into sin. I hurt as wives have been forsaken by their husbands and husbands forsaken by their wives and children forsaken by their parents. I hurt. I hurt seeing what alcohol does to people and to their families. I hurt at the selfishness of mankind and the pain and all the things that go with it. And I know I'm spoiled. My family's saved. Made sure of it. My wife's family, almost everybody in her family that we know of is saved. If they weren't before, they've gotten saved at funerals that I've preached and talking to them and this, that, the other thing. And I know I'm spoiled, but I can't imagine how hard it will be for people that are not saved. And by that I mean this, for those of you that are saved that are in heaven, knowing you had lost loved ones. But can I show you something that's very sweet and very precious about heaven? Look at Revelation chapter 21, verse number 4. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain." Watch this. "For the former things are passed away." And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I will make all things new." Now look at me. Revelation chapter 20 is the great white throne judgment. That is where we stand as God's witnesses to his justice, to the punishment of the lost. And we will watch those lost be thrown into the lake of fire with their final eternal punishment and hear their screams. But I want you to notice what God does. He said, "After you've seen all that, I'm going to wipe all your tears away. And I'll wipe the memory away of all those that have been damned. And you'll not have any memory of them ever again. You'll not be haunted throughout eternity about the lost. He will wipe that from your memory. He won't wipe the pain away from those in hell. But you won't have to endure that pain. I think maybe the hardest thing for me to think about is the great white throne judgment. Do you know what the last thing that the lost people will ever see is? Heaven. They will look in the face of a holy God in the holy city of heaven. It'll be the last thing their eyes ever see. Because when they go to hell, there's total darkness. And they will live throughout eternity burning in the lake of fire, knowing what they could have had. But may I tell you something? I think we ought to work hard at winning every person we know to Christ. Our family, yes. But please take this the right way. Even if they reject Christ, can I tell you something? You won't bear that throughout eternity. God will take that away. You won't have to bear that pain in your heart for eternity. God will take it away. It doesn't make it any easier right now, I know. That's why I think we ought to try our best to win as many of them to Christ as we can. I thank God I've been able to win some of my neighbors to Christ, especially the one that lives next door. Right, Marcia? it's just remarkable. But can I tell you something? I'm sure I know somebody that's there. I've watched people die and go there. I was witnessing to a man that was dying, and as he was dying, he began to scream, "Oh my God, I'm on fire. Oh my God, I'm in hell. Oh God, help me," as he died. You can't imagine how bad it is. But can I tell you something? When I get to heaven, and we get through the great white throne judgment, God said, "I'm going to wipe all that away." It's going to, the term God uses here is pass away. It means die. We say when someone dies, they passed away. That's exactly what that term comes from. God said, "I'm going to cause that memory to die and never be able to be recalled. I'll wipe it away. There'll be no more tears like you're shedding right now. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more sorrow. And those things will pass away." And he says in verse number 5, "I will make all things new." Maybe the most comforting thing about heaven is all things will be new, and you won't remember those that are in hell. But I sure would enjoy heaven better with those that we can win to Christ. And I'm sure you would too. Just a few things about heaven. It's a wonderful place. May I say this? The title of my sermon, "Heaven Isn't So Bad." What are we afraid of? What are we afraid of? Let's comfort one another with it. Hey, we're going to blow this popsicle stand before too long. The Lord's coming back, and boy, is he mad, and I'm ready. I think it's nearer and nearer. I know it is. I know it's 2,000 years nearer than it was. I know each day is a day closer than it was. But the way things are going, it's getting closer and closer. But can I tell you something? Let's keep getting the gospel out to each and every person we can, in hopes that we don't have to have some things erased from our minds. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you have a loved one. They need to be saved. If you don't know how to witness to them, get me their address. Say, "Well, preacher, they don't even live here." Get me their address. I'll find somebody near them, and I'll send a soul winner to them. I'll do everything in my power to get somebody the gospel, I promise you.